Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
I felt led by the Lord this morning to do an expository teaching out of the book of Matthew. Normally, Sunday mornings, I like to bring out topical teaching, but this one is going to be an expository teaching, and expository meaning line by line, precept upon precept. And I truly believe that God has a message for us this morning. How many can realize right now that it's pretty chaotic in the world?
Oh, yes.
Huh? Okay. And this is why we need to be praying for our nation. And I'll tell you why. Because it seems like someone's picking a fight with Russia. And Russia has already warned two times, and no one has gotten the message out to us. But they've already warned, if you keep arming Ukraine, that they're going to send nukes over here. We're living in perilous times. How many of you believe we're living in perilous times? Perilous times. And just as a little tidbit, and we're going to get into our message, all of last year, once again, none of us informed over here. You have to read the foreign press to really know what's going on around the world. But for a whole year, Russia has been going through drills. They have underground bunkers. And so once a week, they go through a drill, and the whole nation has bunkers, and they go underneath their bunkers in case there's an attack on them. My question is, where's our bunkers? We're like sitting ducks, if you ask me. So God always has an answer for his people. God always has a remedy. God always has an escape plan for us, amen. The born-again church, the believers, amen? The world may go down a slippery slope, but for us as born-again believers, God will put a hedge around us. And I truly believe, saints of God, he will remove us before the tribulation. How many believe that? And I'm telling you, this is why you and I, until he comes back for us, we need to be about our Father's business while we're here on this earth. Amen? Amen? And so, also, I just want to share this with you. It's going to be in the theaters one more day only. It was last Thursday at 7 o'clock, AMC Theater, Regal. It's going to be this coming Thursday one more time, and then it's gone. And then that's why when it comes back, it's going to be for the churches to live stream. But Jonathan Kahn has a movie, and Yolanda and I, Sister Dolly, and Sister Catherine, we went to see it, and was that an eye-opener? Oh, it's like an oh my gosh moment. It lets us know that we're living in such perilous times. And did you know that there was only two nations in the history of the world? From Adam and Eve till our present day, there's only two nations that have made a covenant with God. It's Israel and the United States. And when you break covenant with God,
judgment.
Yes. And I'm not going to give away if you want to see it, it's this coming Thursday, Plaza Bonita Mall, AMC, Regal Cinema. It's everywhere, though, in the county. If you live in Rancho San Diego, if you live in Mira Mesa, Mission Valley, it's playing at the Mission Valley 20 there. But it's at 7 o'clock this Thursday. It's called The Harbingers of Things to Come. So it didn't end with 9/11. It continued in the book of Isaiah, and it parallels with us. So when you understand what's taking place prophetically, it lets the church know to prepare your hearts, prepare your life. walk in the ways of holiness. Amen.
It's also the book. If you can't get the movie, get the book.
Oh, yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. It was such an eye opener. I could preach on that whole thing right now, but I won't, because God has given us a message this morning. Amen. So with that said, allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you this day. We thank you for the beautiful worship. But now, God, I pray, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And so, my friends, I've entitled this morning's message, The Salt of the Earth. The Salt of the Earth. And last Sunday morning, we always go and pray before the service. We pray for everything that takes place. And Pastor Rod shared with me Friday, and he was using the scriptures that we were going to preach on. He didn't know anything about it. But he said, Pastor Fee, you need to continue to teach the saints of God that we are the salt of the earth. And by being the salt of the earth that Jesus prophesied over his disciples, his prophets, and even us 2,000 years later, we are to adhere and embrace what Jesus said about us. Amen? And so, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 11 through 16, and then we're going to just allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. Amen? So here we go, starting with verse 11. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Jesus said in verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Wow. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So Jesus is telling, this is on the Mount of Olives when he's telling his disciples. He had a crowd there. These were the Beatitudes. And he's going over a description of what he expects when he leaves, that we would take the bloodstained banner and we would continue the life of a born-again believer. And so it goes on to say in verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Then he says, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Meaning, we are the light. The light of the Holy Spirit lives within us. Can I get an amen? Amen? And people need to see the difference in our life. Verse 15, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Praise God. Praise God. So we're going to do an expository teaching on these verses like we do on Wednesday night. So let's look at verse 11. Blessed are you when they revile you, persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. You see, saints of God, God blesses you when you are mocked, persecuted, and lied about because we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to happen automatically. If you're living holy and righteous before God, you're going to have people mock you. They're going to lie about you. They're going to try to see what you are all about. And Jesus was telling his disciples that they shouldn't be surprised when people mock them. Why? Because they mocked him. And if they mock Jesus, and we are supposed to be Christ's followers, well, guess what? We're going to get the same treatment too. He later explained his followers that expect nothing less. Expect nothing less. It's going to happen. And let me just ask this question. As a born-again believer, and how many years you've been walking with God. Have you been mocked at, lied, ridiculed? Oh, yes, it has happened. And it will continue to happen. You see, Jesus went on to say further in the book of John, look at this, in John 15, 18, look at this. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Are you catching this? If you were of the world would love its own. The world does love its own. I was getting my car serviced at Kearney Mesa Toyota, and I was talking to a brother regarding, you know, this Roe v. Wade going, and you know how God looks at it as an abomination. This lady came out of nowhere and said, "Don't you be talking that like that in here." And I rose up. I said, "Excuse me. This is my freedom of speech. I have a right. I have a right." I stood up. And as soon as I stood up and said, "That is my constitutional right," she backed down. She wouldn't got the manager, and the manager couldn't do nothing. I was talking on the phone with someone. I wasn't talking to her. But this is the world that we have today. Can I get amen? Why? Because they love their own. And when we speak of righteousness and holiness, they hate that. Why? Because it brings a conviction upon their life. And God will have his day with them. But we are to pray for them. Can I get amen? You listen, we are to pray for them. All I told her is that this is my right. I have a right to say whatever I want. And plus, I wasn't speaking to you. I was speaking to my friend on the phone. And so, yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Jesus said that. That's right, he said that. The world will hate us. Why? Because their mindset is darkened. They haven't been regenerated. They haven't been illuminated. They don't know. They can't understand and discern the word of God. Now look at verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. They don't know the Lord. And you can't blame them for that. You just got to show a lot of grace and a lot of mercy. And hopefully they'll see a difference. What we need to hope and pray for is that they will see something in us and say, "You know what? Whatever you have, I want it." And that's when you'll know that God is doing something in your life and they're seeing something that God is doing in your life. Now, what I'm going to show you here is happening today. Right now as we speak, we haven't seen persecution like this yet in the United States. But in the Middle East and in China, they are slaughtering believers left and right. The church, the born-again church in Iran is underground. And what they want to do, once they discover a church, and you got to remember, our news won't give us this. You have to go to the foreign press. And they have all these photos and all these stories. But look right here, right on the border of Iran and Syria. These are all Christians thrown in a gutter, and they're shot in the head. They're discovered by these ruthless, ungodly people. And Jesus said, we just read it right now, If the world hates me, they're going to hate you. And they hate them because they believe in a false god. Look at this right here. They hang them right there. I didn't give a close-up shot because you don't want to see their faces. But this is in Iran. In one of the center of their cities, they put them out there for display. Why am I showing you this? Because persecution's coming here. Oh, yeah. Because they hate us. They hate us. And this godless society has removed the Ten Commandments. You can't speak Jesus no more in the public school. And what are they teaching our little children? Transgenderism. As three-year-olds. Lord have mercy. Look at this one right here. They just literally put them on display. Christian persecution. I got this out of the Book of Martyrs. You ever get that magazine? It's called Martyrs. It's there. It's happening right now. And look at this one. This is a child from a believer's home before they execute the baby. I'm telling you, saints of God, we need to be praying because this nation, no one's telling us to pray, not just for them, but pray for our nation too. Can I get amen? Amen. Fast and pray and say, oh God, keep this evil away from us because it is evil. So let's go to verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward. These people that hung right now that you saw, the reward for them is so great. You know why? It's because they stood for Jesus. They stood for God. They didn't back down. They didn't cower down. They said, kill me, because I know I'm going to go to be with Jesus in heaven. And so Jesus said, this is Jesus, his words in red, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So if they persecuted them, they'll persecute those of today. And we just seen that. Jesus described the way the disciples should respond to persecution. In other words, my life is given by God. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so when that day, if that day ever came, we say, Lord, I don't even own this body. It's yours. That's right. So the moment I close my eyes here, I'm going to be with you in paradise. Amen. How many believe that? You got to believe that. Amen. Amen. You got to believe we'll be with him the moment this heart stops, we'll be with him. And being in his presence is unspeakable joy. You see, my friends, a person with righteous character can rejoice and be glad. Why? Because we know that we're just pilgrims passing through. This is why Jesus said, don't fall in love with this earth, because this earth is passing away. Fall in love with the things of the kingdom of God. When you start falling in love with the kingdom of God and the things of God, that's all that matters. And that's what's going to propel us into eternity with him. Praise God. Because God has a great reward for his saints. And saints, besides that, the disciples had good company. The ancient prophets were persecuted too. I was sharing with our prayer team that before Babylon destroyed Jerusalem and took them into captivity, there was one last prophet crying out to Israel saying, repent, turn from your idolatry, turn from your wicked ways. And that was the prophet Jeremiah. And guess what they did to him? They grabbed him by the nape of his neck and threw him down a well. It was like a dungeon to shut him up. And as soon as they did that, the Babylonians came in and conquered him. Because of the hardness of their heart. Because the kings of that day did not want to repent, and they didn't tell the nation to repent. Matter of fact, what broke the camel's back with Israel during this time? You know, God dealt with so many sins that they committed. So many sins. Yeah, there were alternative lifestyles back then too, and there was fornication. There were all that, but the one sin that God said, enough is enough, I'm bringing now judgment. They started throwing their babies into the fire. And here we are, 65 million babies aborted in this nation. I'm telling you, We need to pray. We need to pray. I mean, we need to fast and pray. So God, have mercy. And here's where we need to ask God, because I truly believe the nation is not going to get saved. It's those who surround your life that you're praying for. We're praying for those people to be saved. Amen. I don't know John Doe that lives in Massachusetts. I don't. But someone knows them that is saved. We have a sphere of influence. We have friends, family members, acquaintances. You should know them and call them out by name. Say, God, have mercy. God, save. Oh, God, restore. Oh, God, heal. Oh, God, lift up. That's what we should be doing in the time that we live in. You see, Jesus explained that to live and speak for God in the face of unjust persecution, as the ancient prophets did, that we would receive a crown for doing the right thing. Can I get amen? How many want to receive a crown from Jesus? Amen. Amen. Listen, I've had so many accolades, in the real estate industry when I used to be working out of an office, and all these things that you could put on your wall, that's all going to burn up. That's going to burn up in the fire. It's what you do for Christ that will last. Can I get amen? That will go into eternity. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And let me just say this. God will keep us from the day of temptation. You got to believe that. How many believe that God can keep you from that day of temptation? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know why? Because the devil wants to tempt us 24/7. Look what James wrote right here. Look at this. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Raise your hand if you love God. If you love Jesus, raise your hand. Amen. We love Jesus, don't we? We wouldn't be here if we didn't love him. My goodness, my goodness. Look what Jeremiah wrote right here. Look at this. But the Lord is with me as mighty, the awesome one. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not prosper. Their everlasting confusion will never be forgotten. Wow. Let me just say this. Those people that surround your life and you know that they're prospering and they don't serve God, and yet, their day in court's coming. You pray for them. Pray for them, and God will save them. And don't get jealous because they're doing so well. They got a swimming pool in the backyard. They got, four vehicles and two in the garage, two in the driveway. They got all the bells and whistles, and they're doing so good. Two jobs are making, $150,000 a year? And oh, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. But the bottom question is, do they know Jesus? Do they know Jesus? That's all that matters. That you and I know Jesus. That he will prepare our hearts before he takes us home with them. Can I get amen? Look what Jesus said in Revelation. Behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. So my question is this. We think that you have to be a pastor or an elder or a deacon. No, you know what? It's sharing with your friends, your family members, going to the hospital and praying for someone. You know what? Telling someone the love of God, telling someone that Jesus loves you despite of your predicament. You know what? Those are the things that God is looking for us to do for the kingdom of God. Forget about all the titles, and that I'm brother and sister so-and-so in the ministry. No, the Bible says we're all equal at the cross. In the kingdom of God, there's no big I's and little U's. We're all equal. And so we need to be the salt of the earth, amen? So let's go to verse 13 as we do an expository teaching in this passages. You are the salt of the earth. Say that with me. You are the salt of the earth. Look at this. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? You know, for those, we're going to have a barbecue in 2 weeks, right? And my brother knows how to season that meat. Just imagine if it had no salt on it. It'd be like, where's the salt? See, because salt brings flavor, doesn't it? It brings flavor, man. You got to put a little, you know, don't overkill it, but just so you can taste it, right? Or you'll be eating like a rubber shoe. Look at this. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. We are to be that person, man or woman, called out by God to be the salt of the earth. Let me just say this. Salt does so many things. It preserves. But do you know that salt also irritates? If you have an open wound, put some salt on that. Man, it's going to what? Irritate, right? Sometimes our life, because we live a godly life, it irritates those around us. It irritates them. They'll go, oh, here comes holier than thou. Shh. Watch your French around them. You ever had, here comes the hallelujahs. And that's okay. You know what? And that's okay. Can I get an amen? That's okay. Hallelujah. That's okay. You know why? Because you're making a difference in their life. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. You're making a difference in their life. I'm glad they're saying, don't say nothing in front of him. And, you know, and I know not to say praise the Lord to them. I said, what's up? What's up? What up, man? But I won't speak vulgarity like them. Because God has bridled my tongue, and he should bridle your tongue. Unless you're one of the closet, bleepity, bleepity, bleep at home. Lord have mercy, don't be like that, please. You see, Jesus' questions, but what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? And can you make it useful again? He did not expect an answer, for once salt has deteriorated, it cannot be used as a preservative no more. In other words, you know what he's saying? Please don't lose your testimony. Especially people that you've been ministering to. Don't lose your testimony. Because they're going to go, yeah, I knew that. I knew it all along. Don't lose your testimony. Stay strong in the Lord. And guess what? Even if you do lose your testimony, God will give you an opportunity to get it right again. Because that's his grace and mercy. Can I get an amen? That's his grace and his mercy. And I love God. You know why? Because I fumbled the ball all kinds of times in my walk. Ain't nobody perfect up here. Come on, ain't nobody perfect up here. So did you say, man, you know, I got it all together? Take heed lest you fall. Can I get amen? We're all walking on borrowed time. All of us are. So as salt preserves and brings out the best flavor of food, so believers should be the salt of the earth and affect others positively. Jesus told his disciples that if they wanted to make a difference in the world, they would have to be different in the world. Did you catch that? If you want to make a difference to them in this world, you have to be different yourself in this world. And God would hold them accountable to maintain their saltiness, that is their usefulness. We must be different in what we want to make a difference in. Can I get amen? Look at this. For you and I as the believer, God exhorts us through the Word of God. This is what I love about expository teaching, because you could also, whatever you're reading, you pin it to other scriptures to build a case. This is like building a case and saying, put it in the right contents of the message. So look at this in 2 Corinthians right here. Look at that. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. You know, it's very simple. Whatever the unbelievers are doing, don't go do what they're doing. Some of them, man, they love to just party and drink it up and get drunk like a skunk. Can I get amen? Touch not that unclean thing. Look at this. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Amen. See, God always makes a way of escape for his children. You don't have to be cornered. And many of us have large families, and that's all they do is party. Yep. How many have large families and all they do is party? All they do is party. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But guess what? I still go to birthdays. I still go to those outings. You know what? I just say, no, thank you. No, thank you. And be that light before them. Can I get amen? Just be that light before them. They need to see a difference. That your life, you can live a clean life and have an impact on their life. Well, that's right. Amen. I remember my BC years. I don't know if you can, many of you can remember your BC years. Amen. It was treacherous. But look what Paul wrote to the Roman church. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's our reasonable service, to live holy before them, to be holy, living holy in your home, to be living holy with your spouse, to be living holy with your children. Because do you know that everything starts at home? And what Satan is doing right now in this day that we live in, he is trying to destroy the family unit, because once he divides the family unit, he has the church. Because the church is made up of families. And his whole aim is just, if I could get them pitted against each other, why do they want to even come and give God glory? He's going to have them miserable at home. Wow. This is why we need to arm ourselves with the Word of God to know. Without being in the Word, you're not going to know God's ways and what he wants from us, so that he can protect us and watch over us, so that we can fall in love with the things that he has instilled in us. Praise God. Look at this verse of scripture right here. 1 John tells us straight out. Says this: do not love the world or the things in this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'm glad I didn't write this, because you guys will be throwing some tomatoes at me right now. But the Apostle John wrote this on the island of Patmos. That's right. Where he wrote the book of Revelation. And there he also wrote the book of 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And this is 1 John. And God gave them revelation back then for us, for today, so that we would receive it. Look at this. Do not love the world, the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. So that's direction for us, amen? If we take that path, guess what? God will watch over you like a mother watching over a hen, her hens. How many want to follow the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Wait, guess what? There's no other option. There's not option number two. There's only one. Is that's to follow him, amen? Now, let's go to verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city, what? A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. It cannot be hidden. Well, you know what God is saying here? Those of us who are spirit-filled, you can't hide that. You can't crawl underneath a bed and not let no one know that you're a believer. It comes automatically, huh? When you're born again, all you want to do is shout and proclaim the Lord God Almighty. Look what he's done for me, what he can do for you. Amen. Amen. And when you start sharing your testimony, what God delivered you from, that gives them hope. If God could do that for you, because I used to know what you used to do, guess what? He could do it for me. And you got to give them, they'll get excited about it. They don't have to be bound up no more. They don't have to be chained up to that to those things of the world. Praise God. And then Jesus later on would say this. Look at this. And I believe it's, yes, in John 8:12. Jesus spoke to them again and said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Man, amen. You remember when you got saved? Man, I must have called 50 people when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And one by one, it would just hang on. I even heard one, as they were hanging up the phone, they didn't tell me directly, but it was indirectly because they were hanging it up. What is he on now? And you know, for a brand new Christian, that's like shock and awe. Wow. But when you look back to look ahead, that was good for me. That was good for you. Amen. Amen. You know why? Because God hasn't quit. He hasn't quit on us. God does not quit on us. Can I get an amen? He needs us. No matter how we slip and fall. Guess what? You know what he does? He takes his spiritual spatula and he scrapes us off the ground again. And then he sets us up uprightly. He dusts us off. He says, now continue to follow me. Aren't you so blessed to know he don't give up on us? Hallelujah. He is the great I am. He is the hope of the world. Hallelujah. He is the bishop and lover of our soul. He won't quit on us. We'll quit on him for a season. Oh, some of us are great at that. But guess what? He'll slap us around a little bit. I like to say this. He'll put us in the whooping shed. How many of us been in there? I've been in there many times. And I don't like it there. And then he opens the door. All right, you learned it? You learned enough? All right, good. Come on and continue to serve me. Praise God. Praise God. Saints, you and I as disciples, we have no other choice but to live for Christ. Can I get an amen? Shining like a city on a mountain, glowing in the night for all to see. That's what God wants from you and I. Why? Because we're like little lights in the midst of darkness. You ever been to a worship concert and they shut off all the lights and everyone brought up candles? And now it's your iPhone with the little light on it now. Right? That's what we are. Little beacons of light in the midst of darkness. In the midst of darkness. Look what Jesus went on to say in verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. So don't get mad at your friend, your family member, those who want nothing to do with God. Jesus already says, because they love darkness. He already said that. They love darkness. So don't get mad at them. Don't beat your head over the wall. Pray for them. That's all you need is just pray. God, I'm praying for them, that you would give them ears to hear and eyes to see. Oh God, no matter what I say, they don't listen. And I get it, because they didn't listen to you. They didn't listen to God. But he's telling us why. Because men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So, you know, us that press out Sundays, we go, sometimes we visit other churches on Sunday nights and stuff like that. Why? Because the light's in us. And we want to be around the light. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Amen. But pray for those that we know. Like my sister right here. There's people in your life, sister, I probably will never meet in my lifetime. And there's probably people in my life that you'll probably never meet in a lifetime. But that's our sphere of influence. So our life has to mean something to them around us. And the only way they're going to, how many of you invited people to come to church? Yeah, I'll see you Sunday. Yeah, I'll see you Sunday. And then 10:15, 10:20, I'm hoping that door opens and they show up. And they're not here, right? And that's okay. And that, listen, that's okay. Don't be mad. Don't be mad. You pray for them. They may come next week. Amen? But the reason why they don't come is because the light has a whole lot to do with the darkness that's in them. So you have to pray that God will give them ears to hear and eyes to see. You got to pray that God will draw them to the light. Okay? And it doesn't happen overnight. And don't think that you're the most anointed one in the world, and all I got to do is just share Jesus with them, and they're calling. Think again. All you do is plant that seed.
Yes, that's right.
And ask God to water it and cause it to grow. And the next thing you'll know, they'll show up when you least expect.
Thank you, Lord.
Can I get amen?
Amen?
And there they are. See, praise God. And you know what? You rejoice.
Yes.
You don't laugh at them. You rejoice. Say, God, thank you. Because you are merciful. You are gracious. And so Jesus went on to say, as we continue with expounding the scriptures in verse 15, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So let me just say this. For those of you who are saved and you go home and you have unsaved people at home, you're the light. And you don't have to flaunt it. You don't have to boast. You just walk in and they already see the glow on you.
Amen.
They see a difference in you. You know why? Because you come home and you love them.
Yes.
How's your day? You give them a big hug. And they see the love of God in you. And that's what they really want to see. They want to see some hope. I hope you know that. You don't go home and say, man, this is what the pastor said, and then start beating them on the head. Repent. Well, man, they'll kick you out of the house. No, you just go be Jesus to them. You see, as I was sharing earlier, you know, yeah, they didn't show up. Yeah, they didn't show up. Well, guess what? Those are the people you know, right? So the only Bible study, the only Jesus that they're ever going to see then and there is your life. The Jesus that lives in you. And they'll see that and they'll say, wow, you are so different. And you know what? And if you don't engage in their darkness and you just stay true to who Jesus is, without getting angry at them, without getting into a confrontation with them, they'll learn to surrender to that. And then they'll learn to start seeing your life before them. And then guess what? They will have a hunger and thirst to what you have, and they're gonna want what you have. Because their way is not working no more. Their angry ways is not working. Their godless thoughts is not working no more. And they're just looking at you. Come on. Maybe they'll come to a place where maybe I got it all wrong. And that's a good place. And you don't rub it in them. You lead them to Christ. You don't put a sword to their back. You're coming. You don't prod them. You lead them. Saints, don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all to see. And you know what all that means? Is just live with a godly character. That's it. Just live with a godly character. You know, you don't have to be the preacher on the corner just preaching a sermon, you know, in the street. No, you live with the character of God so that they can see real substance. Because you got to remember, it all starts at home. It all starts at home. People place lights on stands for them to spread the warm glow. The disciples should continue to reflect the light of their master in this world. How many believe that? They must not try to conceal their light any more than they would light a lamp and then hide it. Back then, they didn't have electricity. So what was their light? They would take a flint and olive oil. And then they would light it. But as soon as they put it, if they were to put it under the bed, it would go out. Because there was not enough oxygen to keep that flame lit. Well, it works the same way. If we're not showing them the love of God, they're never going to see the light of Christ in us. Can I get amen? So look at this. Look what Jesus wrote in the book of Luke. Look at this. We're coming in for a close. Hallelujah. Look at this. Then he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. And he says, follow me. Did you know that we are followers of Jesus? So we are to take up our cross daily. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it then. And whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What does that all mean? That means when you live for God, you're actually saving your life. Because God remembers everything. And he will bless you and bless you and bless you when you're walking after him. And when we slip away or slide away, all he does is puts the brakes and he goes, okay, I'll give you some time to go do what you want to do. And then he still lovingly draws them back into his grace. Man, I'm telling you, but in the days that we live in now, we have to be like Paul. How many believe that we have to be like Paul the apostle? You got to remember, he was beheaded in his final days on earth. He was persecuted, just like we saw those photos earlier. But he said this best, and we should have this written down on the palm of our hand. We should have it written in our heart. We should have it written on our refrigerator door. Maybe when we open up our Bible, it should be there in the first page. But this is what he said. Look at this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and for the Greek. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith. Guess what? Turn to your neighbor and say, you are the just. And you know what he meant by just? You've been justified by God. Through the cross, by the blood of Jesus. And so because we've been saved by God and he has justified us, now we walk in faith. We walk in faith. And we believe God for all things, and God blesses those who have their full trust in him. We got to trust God. How many trust God? Now, as we come in for our close, how many believe that we will suffer things on this earth? Amen. How many of you can honestly say you have suffered some things? Amen. Well, 1 Peter describes this to us. Look at this. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel? See, God cleans up his house first before he deals with the world. Why? Because he wants us to get right before him. He wants us to live right. Why? Because that brings him glory and honor and praise. But look at this. Out of the billions, there's now 7.5 billion people in the world. And not all are saved. You know that. Not all are saved. Maybe a tenth is saved around the world. I don't know. But God knows who are his. But how do I know that the numbers are low? Well, Pastor Fee, you didn't go count them all, did you? I go, no, but the Word of God tells us. The Word of God gives us a clue right here. Look at this. Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? We're scarcely. In other words, there's a few in the world that God truly saves. Scarcely saved. Not abundantly saved. Take that up with God on this. It's right here written in the Word. And so we're scarcely saved. So where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. So God is calling us to be what? Faithful. To stay faithful to him. Stay faithful to him. And he'll take care of everything else. How many believe that he will take care of every issue of your life? Every issue. I don't care. Nothing gets by God. He will take care of every issue of your life if you commit yourself to him. And he will bless you beyond comprehension. Beyond comprehension. One of the things that I recall, I'll just share this shortly. 34 years ago, my last year before I got saved, I worked in a lumber yard, and I worked in a lumber yard for almost 15 years. And man, I used to watch this old man, his name was Hoyle, 65 years old, and he would run the mill, and I would be the guy that would go bring in the loads with the forklift and bring it in, set it in on his table, and then he would feed me, and I would be on the other end stacking. But Hoyle walked around like this. He was so hunchback. His hands were all filled with pitch. He had nothing but open wounds from the wood. He never wore gloves. And this is before I knew God. I used to say to myself, am I going to do this all my life? If this is all for me? I used to ask myself that. I didn't know God yet, so I didn't go to God. And I used to watch this old man. Like, he would, and he, when he walked, it was like this. And then he would talk to me from down there, go bring me another load. And then when I got saved, God revealed a new plan for me. Amen. He took me out of hard labor and put me at a desk job where he has blessed me beyond comprehension. Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to doing good as to a faithful creator. Meaning God remembers you. He has a better plan for you. Just commit yourself to him. His plan is so much better than our plan. I thought for all my life I was going to end up being like Hoyle. And he had a better plan for me. And he's got a better plan for you and you and you and you and you. Just commit your life to him. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. So look at this. And we're coming in right now. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Praise God. Praise God. So look at this, saints of God. In 1 Peter, we get a glimpse of what God wants from us. Right here, look at this. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus. So when Jesus was revealed to us, God said, I have a better way for you now. I got a better plan for you now. I got a better walk for you now. I have a better talk for you now. We don't dress like we used to. We don't talk like we used to. Amen? because God has transformed us by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's better for us today now than it was back then. And it was all but the grace of God. Look at this. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust. What is God saying? Don't go back. Don't go back to the old lifestyle, because it's like a dog going back to his vomit and lapping it back up. God said, man, I've given you a new life. Now walk with me. I'm going to show you great and mighty things to come. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to answer those hard-pressing prayers that you've been lifting up for years, and watch me answer them. Just hold on. Just hold on. Just hold on. Hold on. Look, it says, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. So we're not ignorant no more. Can I get amen? We got wisdom and knowledge, and we got truth now. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Praise God. Praise God. See, God shows us a better way. A better way. Praise God. And this is the last verse of scripture. I promise we're going to end right here. We're going to end in Ephesians. Praise God. Hey, this is for us. Amen. This is for our good. How many believe this is for our good? You're not going to get this at 8 p.m. on channel 8, on channel 10, on HBO, whatever channels you got. You're not going to get this. Why? Because they hate God. This is why we come to the house of God, to learn of him. Can I get an amen?
Right.
Here's what we learn of him. Here's what we can embrace the things of God. And then what we learn here, we now go and demonstrate it to a dying world. Praise God. So we're going to end with these verses of scripture, 17 through 32. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles, meaning the people of the world, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. See, God wants us not to be alienated from him. Listen, we're not going to live a perfect life. Please understand that. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fumble the ball. We're going to miss the mark. But then after God shows us some things, then we are to get right back up, say, God, cleanse me, wash me, forgive me, and I want to keep moving forward with you. That's the key. And guess what? He will not deny you, because he loves us. He knows we're dust. He knows we come from the dust. He knows that he formed us, that we are so frail. We're brittle people, if you can understand that. We can have joy in the morning and have anger at night. This is how finicky we are. He knows what we're made of. And yet he still chooses to love us. That's the grace of God. That's God's being so good to us. Look at this right here. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart. Look at this. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Look at this. If indeed you have heard of him and been taught by him as the truth that's in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conduct. In other words, I remember in high school, you don't see me up here with my Pendleton right way up here. And these khakis and pants that were starched on, using a whole can of starch. No, you know what? God said that was your former conduct. Now come and praise him. Come and praise him in the holiness of his beauty. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Give God praise and glory and honor. And say, God, thank you for what you're doing in my life. Thank you, God, Hallelujah. Thank you for my children, my grandchildren. Many of us have beautiful children, beautiful grandchildren. Can I get amen? Brother Art sent me a text the other day, and he was right in the middle of his 8 grandchildren. I said, praise the Lord. Man, his quiver is full of arrows. Praise God. That's what God has done. And many of us can boast in the Lord about that. Look at my children. Look at my grandchildren. Some of you have great grandchildren. And they're just as precious, aren't they? They're just as precious. Praise God. So that you put off, verse 22, concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitfulness of lust. We're all going to lust. We're all going to covet. We're all going to fall short. But, you know, when those things happen, just give it to God. Say, God, remove this. This doesn't glorify you, God. Oh, God, forgive me for that. I should not have said that. I should not have done that. God, and God's right there to help you. But the devil wants to condemn you that you would run away from God. He'll lie to you and say, don't come back to God. He's mad at you. Well, you don't need to go back. That's a lie from the pit. That's a lie from the pit. Look at this in verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's what God does. And then you put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Hallelujah. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. For we are members of one another. And here, there's nothing wrong with be angry, but don't sin. It says be angry, but sin not. You can be angry, but just, you know what? Don't lose your testimony. Bible says, and sin not. Look at this. And do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. That's right. If you have a falling out with your spouse or whatever, before you go to bed, I'm so sorry, honey. I love you. I should have never said that. And you go to bed and wake up brand new, like, thank you, God. And your relationship has been restored. Because it's received in a good spirit. It's received in Christ. Yeah. Don't go to bed with I'm going to bed, but I have a gun pointing at you. With one eye open like this. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. I remember. Do you remember? I remember. I remember. Look at this. We got a few more verses left. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather him, what? Labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give who has need. Listen, we are the salt of the earth. We are the Christian. We're the one that God has blessed us abundantly. Guess what? Bless someone.
That's right. Amen. Yes, yes, amen.
Bless someone.
Be
a blessing to someone. Can I get an amen? Bless them. Do something that will bring a smile to their face. You know what? This is from God.
Yes.
Not from me. Because I can boast all day long about me. This is from God. Give it to, this is from God. Praise God. Look at that. And let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary of edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Listen, you don't want to do this. Bleepity, 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 bleep. Praise the Lord. Oh, come on. No, your words need to build up. Your words need to edify. I don't care what someone has done wrong. Who cares? Because we do wrong too. You embrace them, you love them, and say, you know, it's going to be all right. With God, all things are possible.
Amen.
With God, God can restore anything that is brought before him.
Yes.
Can I get an amen? Amen? Look at this. And we close with verse 30. And 30, look at it. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed until the day of reunion. What does that mean? You know what? I know. I'm not going to get all theological on you up here. But I know that there's the Calvinistic side and then there's the Arminian side. One says you are saved forever. One says, man, as soon as you think of a sin, you're going to hell. This answers it all. You were sealed for the day of redemption, meaning when you got spirit filled, God sealed you and you are forever his. I don't care how many times you soiled your pants. Can I get an amen? Amen? I don't care how many times you soiled your pants, okay? God will come by and change them. Because you're forever his.
Yes.
He's just waiting for you to confess those things to him. You know why? Because it's not for his sake, it's for your sake.
Yes.
So that you would just lift that burden from you and that condemnation that the devil wants to give you. And when you confess those things to God, now you can walk away. Man, I'm glad I got that off my neck. Now I can praise you. Now I can worship you because the devil's a liar.
Yes, he is.
And he's the father of them. Look at this. Look at this. Verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many are so blessed?
Amen.
How many are so blessed? Because this is an expository teaching, I'm going to go with you like I do Wednesday nights. Amen. Jesus is coming again soon. Can I get an amen? How many believe he's coming again soon? So this was ammunition once again. This is more edification, more understanding that we could truly gravitate to the cross and believe God.
Yes.
That God, you have a better plan for me. Your ways are better than my ways. Your ways will edify not only me, but edify the people around my life.
That's right.
And you will be the difference maker in their life.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, that's right. This little, short little Hispanic guy named Jose Tejeda used to always come witness to me in the lumber yard. Jesus loves you. Lunchtime, I would break away as far as I could, way down two blocks, roll up my windows, and it was a Cheech and Chong moment. And he would be knocking on my window. Who's that? I rolled down the window and all the contact come out. And there he is standing right there with a track in his hand. Jesus loves you. I grabbed that track and I ripped it and I threw it. I go, you come and share that one more time. I'm going to punch you in your nose. And when I got saved, I went back to that lumberyard looking for him. And I had the Bible. I had the Bible in my hand. I kept looking for him. And there he was and I ran to him. You know, you ever see that commercial where two people just run together like this? I kept yelling, Jose, Jose. And he looked for me from afar and he saw a Bible in my hand. He came running toward me too. I said, thank you. You never gave up on me. You never gave up on me. And look what God has done. He saved me. Now I see what you saw. I couldn't see it then. But God opened up my eyes to see. But Jesus is coming again. How many want to be called up to be in the clouds with him? Oh, yeah, that's right. But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Look at this. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain, that's us.
Yep.
Saints of God, I feel this in my spirit, that we're not gonna face physical death. That Jesus is gonna come and rapture us out of here before the tribulation. And the tribulation's coming, it's around the corner. Look at this. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead will in Christ will rise first. Look at this. Then we, say that with me, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, frighten one another. Oh, I'm sorry. That means comfort one another. If you're frightened to be caught up, something's out of order. That means you still love this earth. Don't be like Lot's wife. Lot's wife, God said, don't even turn back and look. She go, oh no. I have a pedicure appointment. I had to throw that one. I'm so sorry. All I know is she turned into a pillar of salt because she looked back. My goodness. The next greatest event that the world's going to see. This is where I truly believe where the Antichrist will rise up. You see, if the Antichrist rises up, we'll know who he is because the church is still here. Well, no, that's the Antichrist. But when, guess what? When the church is out of here, this world is going to go into chaos. Just imagine, we're not here no more, and the people we know that never gave their heart to Christ, they're going to be looking all over for us. They're going to be in such a frantic, man, they're not going to believe it, that we're gone. We're no longer there. They're going to be in such great turmoil because we're gone. The church is gone. And that's why you got to pray for them now, that they will be the ones with us, be caught up too. There's hope for them. But the curtain is closing. And so this is why how many believe that we have a new body coming? Praise God. This body's failing me. It's got no more hair. Still overweight. Tried 1,000 diets. This body just fails. 63 now. I can't wait to go home and kick off these shoes because the feet are killing. Listen, it's called age. We're only here for a short period of time. We're not 18 no more. We're not 25. We're not 30. I remember at 18, we used to run full court basketball games and not even breathe hard. I can't even walk up the steps and I'm... Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, meaning the Greek word for that is die. We not shall physically die, but we shall be changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. For this corruptible, this body that's corrupt, it's dying. Do you know we're dying? We're dying physically until the appointed time where the body goes back to the ground. But like I shared earlier, I believe we're not going to see that moment because God's going to come get us. That's my hope. Come on, come aboard that same hope that I have, because that's what I believe. I believe he's coming for us. Have that same hope. Be looking for him. Be looking for God to come. So this corruptible has put on incorruption, this mortal has put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So for those who are watching on Facebook and YouTube, if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, don't let this, what you see right now, happen to you. Brother Tony, are we ready? All right.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month. Or he might come next week. Or he could even come...
twinkling of an eye. It's going to be that fast. And we're going to be changed and we're going to be like him. Saints of God, pray for your loved ones. Because I believe this moment is around the corner now. Everything's converging. We're seeing the drumbeats of war. We're seeing the tribulation at hand. We've been warned by a nation that has 6,000 nukes that they want to nuke us now. And no one's telling us. I'm telling you, we're around the corner. Yeah. And so, how do you, here's our remedy. There's only one remedy, is for them. For us, we've given our life to Christ. And so we're gonna be with God. But the remedy for the world and for those around our life is they need to repent.
Yes.
They need to repent and give their heart to Jesus. Well, that's right, look at this right here. Then Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. That means forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What is the gift of the Holy Spirit? Eternal life.
That's right.
It's a gift from God. Eternal life. For the promises to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that God is with us, that God is for us. Amen. And so I'm going to give this invitation to those who are watching, those who are logged in. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask Amazing Grace to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would give your heart to God, that you would know that you are sealed until the day of redemption, that you know that you'll be caught up in the air to be with the Lord forevermore. If that's you, and you want to give your heart to Jesus, bow your head and your heart with me and cry out to God and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you, God, that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Hallelujah. Listen.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.